Good Moed, this past week's daf is daf Nun, in the sixth perek of Maseches Nedarim. Okay, let's hear. Okay, special yashikoyach for all those who made the extra effort to come Yontif of Sukkis at the Limanat Torah of others in the theme of the Yontif of Sukkis. Is this that we put ourselves under the shelter of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the way we attach ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is definitely through Limanat Torah. Put our main focus in our Ruchnis Dika endeavors, Limanat Torah, Bameles Biyagia, that includes all types, any type of exertion, whether in the learning itself or in order to come to the learning. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara tells us the Ma'is of Rabbi Kiva we had in Ksubis, and we'll maybe see that Gemara over there for some slight differences, maybe fill-ins. The Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Kiva is Kaddish like the Brata, the Kalbasavu. Rabbi Kiva was Mekaddish to the daughter of Kaposfu. He was a very wealthy person. It was not Pirtsoina. He wasn't happy about that. Shoma Kaposfu Adra Hano Mikol Nichse. When he heard that, so he made a neder and he asked him from all his Nechosim. Right, maybe in that context, that it's what they're doing here in this Mesech, this story. Ahadim kol nechse, also in Sivaslei. So he continued on him, and she got married to him. The Sisu have gone about Tivna. They were so poor that in the colder months during the winter they slept in a place that stored tevin, straw, keep them warm. Have a kominkit lay tivna min mazia. That, you know, sleeping on straw, so the straw particles get into a person's hair. So she had to remove the straw from his hair. Omar lo, yehavoyli reminiluch Yerushalayim didav. If I had money, I would buy for you, I would get for you this ornament of which seemed to had the form of Yerushalayim. That Morning Shabbos makes a reference to this. Sounds like maybe at the end Kiva did get such a thing. Also Elio Idmilhu Ki Insha. Elio Anovi came and he appeared as a person, in the form of a person. Vikokori Abova, and he was he called on the doorstep to get attention to those inside, to Rabbi Kiva and his wife. Omar Lahu Havalu Porta de Sivna, please give me a small amount of straw. The Yaldasitsi, my wife just gave birth, for less li midam laguna, and have nothing to shelter her, to keep her warm. The Foshim say that Elio came in order to be mechazik them, that even though they were very poor, they had nothing, but to show that there are those that had even less than them. Omar Lord Rikila in say Chazigavda feel tivna less loy islay. I said that see that people that have even less than us, they don't even have tevin. Maybe it was a chance, an opportunity for them to do chesed. schus to do chesed, especially in their situation that, maybe was difficult, and they were able to give to others. Akoponim, the Gemara says as follows. Omer le'zil hav be'rav. So, I mean, this Gemara, the way the Gemara and Dorm over here sounds like this was, some kind of subsequent idea at this point of the Gemara. Zil hav, right, it's not clear exactly what the Hemshech over here was, right? What does this happen now? Right, we'll see maybe Mark Subas Smash a little different. Ozal, so he went. Havatarte Srei Shin Kamdir Belezra Bi Yeshua. He went for 12 years and learned his Rebbeim were the great Belezra and of Yeshua. And the one mentions other Mishnah, other places, right? I think Mark Subas then increases. Makes mention about that people would ask them certain shaylos, they were his rabbeim. He went for 12 years. Right? Mark Subas over there is talking about the sugya of takat the zman oina and the sitach of tamid chacham have a shus to go away for extended periods of time. So that's when the Gemara brings this mice in relation to that. He went 12 years. 12 years, okay, these are the things which are probably out of our grasp, such a musug. But akoponim, you see the extent of what Liman HaTorah requires such mesirus. One has to apply themselves. I'm talking about great people. Granted, Rabbi Akiva wasn't yet a great person, but as we'll see, that the long years, and we can imagine the effort that was put in during that time, that's what was necessary on the one hand, and on the other hand, what produced the great Tanoim that for forever generations, Klal Yisrael has from their Torah. So he went for 12 years. 12 years. Zokt Gimor, the Mishnah Tatif say Shnin Ka Osa Lebeisei. After 12 years, he decided to come back to his house. Apparently, he returned. He hadn't yet came home. Actually, he hadn't met his wife yet. He heard a conversation from the back of his house that someone who was a rosha was speaking to his wife, and he said the following: Shaper Ovelich Ovuch. That your father, who was neither nechosov, he asked that you and your husband can't have any hanoah from his nechosim. He did the right thing because this wasn't a good idea that you did. Chodad leidomiloch. First of all, that's not a good shidduch. He's not on the same level as you. The Mefarshim say talk about whether it's in wealth or in yichus. For oid, that shavkoch amalus chayis kuloshnin, and in addition that he just saw what happened and making his own decision on this. That see what he did to you. He left you alone as if you were a almana without a husband for so many years. Amrulei. Yitzoyz lidili, if he would agree, listen to me, if my husband would agree to me, levitatis rishnin achanaisa, I would be happy for him to go another 12 years. Unbelievable. Again, out of our grasp. Right. How did she have, where did she get that feeling? Such Messias Nefesh for Torah, her husband was, her father was not necessarily Talmud Chochem. It's unbelievable. The emunah, the trust that she had in Limana Torah, being Talmud Chochem, that is the purpose of it all. One who is the greatest Talmud Chochem person is the more person attaches himself to Torah, person and transforms themselves into an entity of Torah. That's the purpose of creation. She apparently had a good understanding and good feeling of that, and therefore she said, if you would go for another 12 years, I would be happy with that. Omar, so Rabbi Akiva, hearing this conversation, overhearing, since I have permission, I'm turning around. Apparently it's not so clear what the original number of 12 was. Right? Was she expecting him to come back? He did not tell him he was going for another 12 years. There's also a Pel de Kazakh, you know, at least if you know what it is, you know, it's over here. Seems like it was in a unnumbered amount of years that he was going. Akoponim, he said, he went back. Now there's a famous yisoid, a foundation that is taken out of this Gemara. The question is asked, Kafan, you want to go again, but he's right there, we would have thought that the right thing maybe to do is just say hello to your wife, and then turn back around. So the say that the Bali Musar say from this Gemara is that you see something very important, right? That the kind of continuity, right? The retzifus of something, how great that is, and were he to have stopped into his wife, and that would have ended the first period of 12 years. There would have been a second 12 years. At the 24 years, the group of 24 years is something totally different. At the Nusach, they say, is 12 plus 12 doesn't equal 24. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, the marshal for that is that, for example, that a person is on antibiotics, right? So they have to take it for, let's say, a week or 10 days, whatever it is. So the antibiotics is something that builds. It has to be taken every day for a certain amount in order that it does whatever it does to the system. Where a person, to take off, to interrupt one day, even though the total amount of days is all the same, but once there's a hefsik, so then, you have to start again as far as if you're trying to build on something. And that's what the idea over here is that Limud HaTorah has to be beretzifus, to whatever degree a person's situation allows to. Of course, this kind of retzifus is something which is, out of our concept, and we should not be trying to duplicate and copy this without speaking to someone who can give us proper direction how to apply this. This is for Rabbi Akiva and his wife. But the idea of Ritzifus is something which is very much shayach to us. The Chazon Ish writes in a letter, talks about during one Seder, person comes to learn. That how it's important that a person should be learning straight. If a person learns, he calls it crime. A person is from Chazal, I think, that that if a person is learning, he's mafsik, learning the hefsik, you know, he has a strong expression on that. that would, you know, the limonator has to build, learning, you know, a little bit over here and then mafsing, that's it. Doesn't build, you know, in so many areas in the Havana, in getting the sugya. There's a lot of pieces of information that we have to have this. We have to gather it all, put it all together. Now, if there's a hefsek in between, if there's an interruption in between, even a seemingly slight interruption, but if it's not, that's something which is necessary or enhances the limud to allow the learning to continue. Then it acts as a hefsek. It's something which affects the continuity of the seder itself, and the clarity of the learning. Poshut, you know, what we learned till now is affected, and definitely as far as the the Kedusha Satayr, whenever a person learns, sits down to learn, so there's a Kedusha Satayr, and Baruch Shalom is Nimtzis, and Dadal Amishal Halocha, and to have an effect on him, to transform the person, is also something which is necessary, right? The other marshal that they say is on the boiling of the water, right? If you keep it there for 10 minutes, great, it'll get boiled. But if you remove it, right, back and forth, then you know it will never get heated up, because again it has to build. So the Gemara says as follows: after another 12 years, habitate streishni achenayisom. It was another 12 years. Also, be'esin v'arba alfin zuge talmidi. The Gemara says that he came with 24. That wasn't zuge over here in the first day, because the Gemara in Yevamos mentions that he had 12,000 zugim. It was a total of 24,000 talmidim. Interesting. I don't know how they knew the number. You know, I don't know if there was a registration exactly, right? And the Gemara really, in Yevamos over there talks about that the Chasers. I'm not sure if necessarily all the Talmidim, you know, were together in one place. Sounds like it was spread out, you know, from an area. I'm not sure how they worked out over there. This Gemara over here sounds like he came back. You know. The Talmidim were here, and how do you understand what the Metzius over was? There was this huge entourage of 24,000 people that were walking him home. I'm not so clear exactly what this is. So I think Morse also be'esin v'arba alfin, that literally means that he was it's a huge crowd, or this is what he had amassed over the year, the number of Talmidim. And he was known as a great person that had that many Talmid Chacham, and that's why Akoponim, there was a Kabbalah upon him to whatever degree when he came. Zokti Gemara, v'afi komas lemepik la'ape, she also got up and to greet him. Omar lo hahurushia v'ad laheichom. So someone, again, not a good person, Rishia, said a negative comment to her, Va'at Lahicha, where are you going? Where are you going? The Gemara over there, I think, Subis and Rashi, then the Ran over here says, Shloi Ha'ila B'godim Ru'uyim. Right? You're not dressed fit for the occasion to greet this person. Omar Omrale, Yideit Sadik Nefesh Behemtai. This was her answer. The Ran says, Yideit Sadik Nefesh Behemtai, Yidea Hu Zesh and Istaarti Bishviloi. He knows that I tolerated, I was soivel, all the difficulty of Anius, for him, because of him. As if she had to give some kind of excuse to explain why she was able to present herself, that it would sound like as if, like, you know, just to say, well, you know, he's my husband, and he's not makbid, might not have been enough of an answer. And she was coming to greet the Gadol HaDor, you know, the right answer is something else. Right? Yedea hu shenistarte b'shviloi. As the Gemara later on says, that it may be on the contrary. In her situation, coming as she was, this is really what his greatness, the greatness that he rose to was really because of what she was soivel. The Mefarish Taka says, if you look at the Mefarish over here, Deir Tzadik Nefesh Behemtoi. The Mefarish brings two pshatim. He says, is the Amri, there are those that explain, Di'ihi hava yodo Rabbi Kiva hava, she knew that was Rabbi Kiva, va'omra lei d'loi misganya be'enei. Right, so according to this pshat, it sounds like that's maybe what she was saying. That she knew it was Rabbi Kiva, and therefore she said that he knows who I am, and Loi Misganya, I will not become disgusting in his eyes, no matter how I appear. The Ista Amri do Loi Havis Yoda. Others say that she didn't know that it was Rabbi Kiva, it were her husband. Elo Hochi Ka Omra the Tzadik Le Mivazali Inchi. What she was saying was that a person who's a tzaddik won't look down upon people, and therefore, right, those who appear, even maybe if it's not proper according to the honor that the Torah requires, but they will understand. They won't look down.
Did you explain first what the question was in the first place?
The question of the Rishia?
Yeah, I mean, it's his wife. Like, she's his wife.
So like this. So, I mean, we just said over the Mefarish, one of the possibilities is that she didn't even know it was her husband. Oh. So, very possible that this other person didn't know that. Uh-huh. It could be that maybe according to both Shotim, this person didn't know that. Right? This is a 24 years later. Right? Very possible that no one Taka really knew that.
You mean you'll see later that
the Talmidim pushing her away? What?
Well, but we see that the father-in-law, what's his name? He didn't realize that it was Rabbi Kiva.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And why was he coming to be Shoal then?
Oh, I mean, maybe I'm basing this on what I saw in the notes, but I think he just had charata at that point, and he heard that a rav, you know, a gadol was coming that he could be matir neder from.
Oh, because there weren't gadolim around. I mean, even though he went to Yerushalayim all the time, he was like one of the three huge people who were always around Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Mm-hmm. No? Isn't that a known thing? Mm-hmm. He was one of those people?
I mean, he was there definitely in Talmidim. In the early years, I don't know the history exactly at what point in time this was, but definitely, like Mona says, man, he was a Talmud by them in his earlier years. That's definitely
just say what you know what Art Scroll says here.
Okay. Right. So I'm asking on Art Scroll.
Great man is but he did not know it was his son-in-law. He decided after all these years they would take advantage of the sage's presence to attempt to have a another annulled.
He had Stam Korata because he saw his daughter as a good person and whatever, okay, fine. And they didn't know. I mean, doesn't it say that she was sending money to Rabbi Akiva all these years? Somewhere it asks in the Mefarshim, how did Rabbi Akiva support himself? It said that she would send half of her money up to Yerushalayim to him. I don't know where I saw that, somewhere.
Right.
I mean, so she didn't know what he was becoming all those years. You know, she's sending her money to him every week. He didn't send any letters back. I mean, she's sending money to him to Yerushalayim. He never said thank you. I'm sorry. I have questions.
The whole story is a very difficult story.
Well, I mean, this that they went to learn and they didn't see their wives for many years. We have a hard time. We can't fathom that. But that was, we see, so in Ksubos, also, this was not an uncommon practice to go learn for 12 years away from your wife.
We see this with other people?
Yeah, we saw it by Chama.
But the more, that's something more of it talks about, right? The amount of years, you know, this might have been a little longer, even 12 years longer than most people, but there was the concept was there. Right. That's what I was discussing there, right. Right. See, we mentioned just before at least this much, it's well known, this question, this idea that, you know, when he overheard that she was happy if he would do again the amount of time, so he turned around and, you know, he didn't even, you know, stop in to say hello. So the question is asked over there, at least, you know, according to our feelings and things like that, that, you know, like he could have stopped in, you know, just, you're right there, like, you know, at. So we said over this concept, this idea of the continuity of the 24 years rather than, you know, a 12, two 12s, right? That is so akoponim. So that probably was an idea which was going on through the 12 years themselves, right? That, you know, that so whatever kind of contact that, you know, that there could have been, there was, whatever it is, but in line with that, right, there was what's happening over there was a continuous growth. Rabbi Akiva was growing, and, you know, his wife was apparently aware of that, and so, you know, that was the main focus over there, right? to capitalize on the growth without having anything stunt it or weaken it, right? That's
right.
You know, how that translates in actuality, you know, you could decide for yourself, right?
I mean, this number 24 keeps coming up also. I don't know what to make of that.
Oh, really? Where else do you see that?
24 bathrooms. Right? He said there were 24 bathrooms on the way from his house to the Beis Medrash. And 24,000 zugim. What?
You're right.
24,000 zugim, 24 years of study. I don't know what to make of it, but I see that number coming up, and it seems like somebody's bashing me over the head with something that I don't, but it doesn't help me.
Think about it all 24 hours of the day and see if you can come up with something.
Right, so that maybe 24 hours of the day, the 12 Shvatim times 2, is one another possibility, 24 Sifrei Kodesh in Tanakh, Another possibility.
Okay, good.
I just, but I'm not sure how to put it all together.
Okay, it's okay. Hold on to it, and then you'll come across something. You'll see.
Right. Anyway, I don't know. It seems to me the Shach Levatoria, I mean, I'm hearing different explanations, but the way she responded, she says, Adam Yodea Nefesh Behemto. Seems like she knew who he was from that response, no? We're saying now that that's not exactly what it means, that there's a different interpretation, that it means that he would just act toward any normal person in a decent way.
See, the second explanation in the Mefarish,
East Imri to E Havas Yodos to Rikiva, right? So there's two different opinions. I mean, I assume the second opinion is coming to deal with. Well, I don't know. Okay. I mean, he clearly knew who she was right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that he was returning, that he was coming back home, right? Whatever that means, right?
Oh.
So he was, as far as recognizing that and not recognizing, so there is that point, right? When you don't expect something, so that many times causes a person not to recognize something, as opposed to if you're expecting something, it helps you recognize. Right, so if you filled in that, this person, he changed and this and that, and you meet him, and then I can see it. But if you don't expect that to be that person, right, and then
like Yosef versus the brothers.
Okay, very good example. Right.
That's not what the reason they give by Yosef and the brothers.
Oh no. Okay.
Say because he was. He was still in Nar when he left, right? Isn't that what they say?
Whether that's the whole explanation or that lended to the difference.
I know firsthand that I have a problem recognizing people, but if it's in the right context, then I recognize them immediately. And once I know who they are, like I can't understand how I didn't recognize them.
Yeah,
I've had many embarrassing situations. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I went to Ezra's Bris, a woman walked in, and I was getting something for Ezra, and the woman walked into the shul, and I know who this woman is, but I'm going through my mind all of the Kolel guys, whose wife is it? And it was none of their wives. And then said, oh, it's this other person's wife, because I didn't have the connection.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I'll call upon him, but what we do try to take out of this Gemara is taka to see, in truth, that someone who recognizes, and that is really the truth, the greatness of Torah, and what is well worth giving up,
like almost their whole lives, essentially.
But for them, they understand. What else is life for?
Right.
If you have a clear understanding and recognition of that, then you can possibly do that. Like we mentioned, it's not for us to duplicate and to copy. Right. We just have to take out, what the concept is and apply it according to what we're up to. Help us grow according to our level. Where we are right now, but that's unbelievable, and to produce Rabbi Akiva, right? That had to have been a great amount of exertion and giving up for that.
I mean, this is maybe another problem that I have with her not knowing who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, she obviously recognized when nobody saw in Rabbi Akiva what Rabbi Akiva was capable of, but she saw this in him. that she was willing to marry somebody who was l'chora completely inappropriate for her and give up everything, you know, because she saw his potential and that nobody else saw. So she already saw, meaning I'm almost thinking, she saw the Rebbe Akiva that came back 24 years later, before he even left.
I hear that. See, but what we were just maybe doubt on that is that did she expect the Rebbe Akiva, right? Or, you know, she was Meisa Nefesh, you know, she was going to, you know, become a Talmud Chacham. But, you know, to become the Rebbe Akiva, you know, and to, you know, what this might have been taka out of her expectations, back when the Mefarshim talk about whether he could matter his neder, whether it's noilad or not, right? So the Ran, you know, discusses the shaila whether kabbal sevur, right? Whether he could matter his neder. So, no, the afila halacha achas, right? Probably this they didn't expect, but the nether wasn't dependent on this. This was not what. So I'm saying, but you know, similarly, I don't know if she necessarily expected that this would be the end. And she definitely had trust, and like you're saying, that he had the makings in him to become successful. But, you know, to the degree, you know, of success, like, you know, you have a person, let's say, that, you know, that you could tell that he has a business mind. You know, so you send him in there, but to become, you know, the billionaire, you know,
But when the Mefarish says that she didn't know it was him, right, that doesn't specifically have to mean after she saw him, right? I mean, that could mean that she didn't know when she went, right? She's going to this, you know, to welcome this tzaddik coming to the town, that at that point she didn't realize it was him. But it could be that when she saw him, she recognized his face right away.
Okay, yeah, that's all true. Mm-hmm.
And what was she going to see him for? According to the second pshat?
The whole community was coming out to see the Gadol come to the town, right? There was a...
So this Rashiya was just saying, you know, you should stay home, everybody else goes out, and you're going to stay home?
You're not dressed for the occasion.
Oh, because she didn't have nice clothes.
Right. Okay. She was
Then maybe connects to the previous sugya.
Yeah.
Another sugya I don't understand.
Okay, that's good. The doorway to understanding is to not understand. Right? If we would think that we understood all this, then we'd be in trouble. Right? So it's good, right? So the just reading these Gemaras and just having a difficulty for them to sit properly in our heads is a good thing. A good thing, right? Because that'll help us eventually get somewhere. Right? We'll appreciate if we see something in one of the Mefarshim that say something. You know, be on guard, on the lookout for something to satisfy our hunger here.
Yeah. But I sometimes sort of be lahavdil. I just think about people who you know, young people in their 20s who fought in wars and died for a cause. You know, like their whole life was just they gave their whole life for a cause. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me. You know, we live in a time and a you know where it's just very hard to give up. You think about giving up your life for anything. If we all just you know we have a vision of what our life is supposed to be like, and their entire lives because they understood like you're saying the chashivas of the Torah. It's nischi. 24 years is like a nothing. L'chor, okay, you know, to acquire something nitzchi.
Right. You're type of raising an important point, and that really is something fundamental, which is missing, definitely, the fact that we're in goals right now. That's one of those subtle things that have an influence on us, and the ways and the mindset and the nations of the world infiltrate into us, and without even realizing. But right. Right, I mean, the Torah talks about, we say it every single day, b'chol olamchem b'chol nafshechem. Right, you know, and right, what that means, it's very external, right, doesn't get into our being, right, like you're saying, it's that is some kind of example, right, you know, the idea. You know, at least some kind of emotional, like, you know, how you see it in the world, there's such a thing as giving up, right? You know, right, for a cause. That concept is really something that we could and should learn from, right? And you know, the cause, the main cause, the real cause, right? You know, that's what we have. You know, that's what the that's the Yom Tov over here, right? We're saying so many times, "Atav Chaton Mikol Am, Lahav Tzivon, Tzivon." Right? That's the real thing. Halavai. We should appreciate it. Rebbe Tov Mikol Al Shoynes, who lifted us above all the nations. That means we really are on a different level, high above, and what keeps us on that. On that level, kiddush tonav mitzvisecha, kiav tonav mitzvisecha. That's what it is. All right, that's what keeps us afloat or flying high. All right, so it's very much dependent on that. And you know, as much as we incorporate that into our being, you know, we maintain that level. And when we don't, you know, the helium is let loose. Right, and then we sort of. Right, fall down. Yeah, okay, right.
Also, somebody said to me something from Rav Olshan this morning about Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that to say that the Simcha was because we're like a shutif with Hashem. The Sukkah is essentially to bring Hashem Shechina into the world, make a makom for Shechina. Makatzer, even what he was Makatzer,
right.
Mm-hmm. From Rav Olshan.
Yeah.
Then he wanted to say, he made this connection that, you know, that it says that Adam davened for water. That water is something that a person needs to daven for, and we become a shutuf with Hashem's Bria, meaning our davening is Hashem needed our davening to be part of the Bria. And that without our davening, which is what brings the Geshem, then the Bria wouldn't be complete. And that we become, in a sense, like a shutuf, a certainly sense, that we our davening almost completes the Bria. I'm wondering almost, you know, Moshe, Hashem showed Rabbi Akiva to Moshe.
Right.
When he gave the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was, Moshe was asking a question, maybe it wasn't Hashem's plan to show him Rabbi Akiva. But you see that Rabbi Akiva was part of the plan from the very beginning. And I'm wondering if it was more than just Rabbi Akiva becoming a gadol. This was part and parcel of the giving of the Torah itself, was that Rabbi Akiva had to get to this madriga, you know, possibly nobody's ever been at this madriga before,
mm-hmm.
possibly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This year is shutaf.
We're shutuf with Hashem. We should have Mashiach.
Good. See, one thing when you mentioned it, Takatak comes flying. And means we know Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the Asarui Haruge Malchus, right? And you know, the Gemara tells us that, you know, he was Makabel Ol Malchus Shmaim Kriyashma when they were torturing him, killing him. And his Talmidim, you know, whatever the question was, and he said, "Kol Yomai Nitzda'arti," right? My whole life, right? I mean, this was, he was building himself and waiting for this opportunity. This, so, you know, Akiva, of course, is not a separate thing. Limud HaTorah, you know, and Avodas Hashem, the Mesiris, right? And this is what he was anxious for, waiting for that opportunity. of a chance to actually give himself totally over, because that was his whole life. Right? That's what it was. It was a Masir B'chayev, and if he had a chance to give over that, you know, the last breath, you know, that was something that he was looking for. Right? But that really is very much, it goes together with this. Okay. Tzbir Chizik for us, right? Strengthen us, right? In our Avodas Hashem. So the Gemara says, let's just finish the Gemara over here. Gemara says, also Sachut is Chazuyele. She came to see him. Komad Chilei Rabbonon. Rabbonon pushed her away. Obviously, they didn't know who she was. Omar Lohoin, Hanichula Shalibishalachem Shalohu. These are the famous words that I quoted from Rabbi Akiva. He told her, let her be, let her come. Shalibishalachem, my Shali, my Torah Bishalachem, and your Torah of Tamidim, Shalohu is hers. The Ran says, what does the Ran say on that? The Ran says, Shalibishlachem Shalohu, Tayrasi Vitarashem Bishvilahi. My Torah and your Torah is because of her. Shinotnitnali Eitzul Mezel Birab. So the Ran says that he attributed the Hatzlocha of himself and his Talmidim, that she gave him the Eitzah. She told him to go. I would assume that, you know, for our purposes, what that means is, you know, the encouragement, right, to go, and, you know, take on the endeavor. We know that Rabbi Akiva was, Mura says that he was Amoris, right? Mura says, Shem talk about what the Gemara in Pesachim over there means, but Akiva was not happy. He was not in good terms with Tamid Chachamim. He was in the class of an Amma Oretz as far as the different views. There was friction, like the Gemara tells us, between the Amei Ha'aretz and the Tamid Chachamim, and Rabbi Akiva, with the proper encouragement of his wife, you know, decided to not just to learn Torah, but really to change over the whole mindset. So this is an important thing, important for us to know, talk about encouragement, how far encouragement could go. You could have someone that has great abilities, but not everyone is confident in themselves, right? And if someone else sees talents and abilities and encourages someone else, it's all their chutz. And I believe that's all v'chalal. Not Melisa Eitzo. And, you know, so everyone comes in contact, you know, with different people, whether older people or younger people, and especially, you know, you have to with younger people, you know, there's the raw talents, you know, raw talents at that age maybe plays out in not such a desirable way. But someone who has a good eye could see and is able, you know, has some life experience to see how people develop and, you know, leave behind the immaturity, you know, the chizik, the encouragement that one could give and could breed great fruit. So whoever is in that situation should take advantage, right? Don't get carried away with the negative aspects that are there, but the positive talent with time and application could bring greatness. So let's see the Gemara. Gemara goes a little further. Mekabos zokti more. Sorry, Shoma. Actually, I wanted to say over it was from the Mefarish. Mefarish says over here. I don't say so much. Shlub shalachem shlohu al yodohu kol ma shelomadti. See, I think that they take out of this Gemara sheli v'shelochem shelohu refers to her mesiras nefesh. Right? The Ran over there doesn't seem to be stressing that point so much, but that's probably true too. That once Rabbi Kiva married her, so you know he had nachrayis to her, and this that she. You know, even if it wasn't her Eitzah, but for sure, you know, if what was it that she was soivel, she tolerated great Anias, and like you're saying over from Farshim, that, you know, she even supported him to whatever degree she was able to, you know, that's also something which is very important, and words of Chizuk, those who are being soivel difficulties, for the sake of Limud HaTorah, for the sake of Avodas Hashem, it's something which is very, very commendable. And you know, the effect that they cause, whether it's, you know, someone's own serious nefesh, or people affect others whether they realize it or not. And you know, someone who's doing something l'shem Shemayim, and even though he's going through difficulties to whatever degree it is, that, you know, it has an effect. Others see it, others feel it, or, you know, even without it, but it creates a siyata d'shmai, creates a you know, unbelievable ruach. And who knows that others that are matzliach, and, you know, a mokum, whatever it is, you know, has its hasloha because of those people that continue on with their Avodas Hashem, with their Limud HaTorah, even though they might be being soivel, they're tolerating, you know, difficulties, you know, whether it's physical, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, you know, life is definitely not something which is so easy at all times. And every ounce of discomfort goes into the picture and creates. It creates has the ability of creation. It creates spirituality, which affect all those that are around. So let's see. So the Gemara says, "Min kabo savua." Excuse me again. Kabo savua also v'itchel al nidre v'ishterei ishtori. Fine. So this Gemara over here, the way this Gemara says is that, right, it would sound like, you know, this was he for other reasons he had decided to be Mat and Eder, right, and he was Shoyl over here, right, why he decided specifically to wait, you know, to this opportunity to go to Lador. It could have been done, you know, without the situation, is a question on that. The Gemara in Adar in Ksubis, right, like we mentions a little bit differently the story. The Gemara says, first of all, that Rabbi Kiva was the Rayad Ben Kaba Savua, right, which, you know, makes the Shidduch probably a little more difficult for Kaba Savua to have agreed in the first place.
Yes, that's what you said.
Gemara says that he was Raya, the man, he was the shepherd of Nkabosu. He wasn't just someone who, you know, didn't have the credentials, but he actually was he was an employee, right? He was a shepherd, right? Which is probably not such a coveted position. Akoponim. Now the Gemara mentions, like you say, right? Chazisa brat have a tsonua umali. The Gemara says that she saw in him tzonua. He conducted himself with snias umali. proper person. That refers to midas. Actually, she saw something special in him. That is what aroused her, which is also an important point. Unfortunately, in today's musogim, there are other things that draw a person to be interested in a certain shidduch. But see, you would have thought that, I don't know if you would have thought, but I mean, someone who's whose mind works with today's ideas, they might have understood that it wasn't so comparable to shidduch, but there were other things that drew her. But the Gemara tells us that this shidduch was rooted in a true reason. A real essence. Tzniya umali. Now the Gemara also says like this: Omro le imekad shana loch azlis lebei rav. So this was really a condition in the original kedushin that she made. That's what this Gemara says. The Gemara sounds like it was like maybe an aftermath, right? So again, that this was all a ruchniyistic shidduch here.
Sorry, I'm just bringing up a different question. They Lechara, they made Nisuin.
Right.
We have a question whether you can have Tanai B'Nisuin only on Kedushin, right? It was, okay, this just occurred to me.
So the Gemara says, let's see how the Gemara says. Gemara says over here, Omar lo I ikdisha le in right. So he was masking to the condition ikdisha le b'tzina. So he was mekadisher privately, because Kabbalah Sifu apparently they knew he was not going to be agreeing to this. Shadra say, and she sent him off. Shoma avua apkami be say al johanna menich say. Right, so this is how the Gemara tells the story. He heard about it, and he threw her out of his house, and he made the neder.
The way the Rebbe is saying the story, it sounds like right after the suin, let's say they sent off. Right? Am I understanding that? Because we know that there was a period where he was taking the straw out of her hair. And we also, I think, we know that she had children,
right? So it
couldn't have happened.
Yeah, that's what it would seem like, right. So I don't know exactly how to put that all together, right. So this Gemara says he went for 12 years. He also, I see Bahde trace stray alfei talmide. Now this Gemara says that after 12 years he had 12,000 talmidim.
Right? 12,000 talmidim total, or zugim.
After 12 years.
Right? After 12 years, he had 12,000.
Right? Now Gemara doesn't say like that. Right? Now Gemara, it sounded like maybe those years he was a talmid. Right. Actually, what I'm saying, I make mistakes. Gemara says he came back after 12 years. Right. Doesn't say anything about bringing at that point anyone with him. Right.
I don't think so.
Right. The Gemara, as a matter of fact, says that he learned 12 years. Kamei Derbelezer Bishua. Sound like those were his years as a Talmud. The next 12 years, maybe that's when he was the Rav and he accumulated the Talmidim. The way the Gemara says over here, it sounds like after the first 12 years, he already had 12,000 Talmidim. Shamu Sap the Ka'omar. The Gemara has a different title for the person who asked his wife why she's going. Shama hu sabo, in the door, more derogatory term. Akavon, so shama hu sabo sabdeko the koma akama kom daberes almanus chayim. A little different conversation over here. Amrale yid didit zayis yosef trei srishni achinaisu. That is what he said. Another 12 years. Omar b'shus kavid na hada azov yosef trei srishni achinaisu bevei rav. Ki os aisi badei esin v'arba alf v'tamidei. This Gemara says that they asked her that maybe you should borrow something, you know, that you should be more presentable.
Oh.
The Gemara over here is a little more descriptive in how she approached him. She fell down and she was kissing his feet. They pushed her away. They were. It could be that maybe you know that practice was not you know for a stranger. That you know maybe she appeared to them as a someone that wasn't you know fully with you know full seichel. Omar Lavush, of course, Lavush Lachem Shalom. Shoma Avua to also Gavra Rabalmasa. Now this is how the Gemara in Ksuba says that Kalba Savua, her father, heard that a Gavra Rabba, a great person, came to ten. Also Lila Gabe, he also went. Efsha de Mefinidroi. Oh, so this Gemara does taka sound like that. Efsha de Mefinidroi. No, that's what it says. Also Lila Gabe, Omali Adai to the Gavra Rabba. Mikonadris. So the Gemara over here says that he heard about Gavarabo. Doesn't sound like you know he knew it was Rabbi Kiva, and he was already thinking of being matir his nedris. This Gemara also sounds like that maybe for other reasons he had decided to be matir the nedrin. So they used as a Pesach on the Neder that you know that if you would have known he would be a Gavra Rabba, would you have made the Neder? I would have been happy with. Omele Antu. Right? Since we were right first.
My father didn't.
Yeah. So this Gemara over here mentions clearly that he gave him Pavim Moine, which our Gemara goes on to talk about. Rabbi Kiva apparently was a wealthy person. The Gemara explains where his wealth came from, and one of the sources were from Kalba Savua. I think Marsha says over here, the reason why the Gemara discusses what the source of his wealth is that one shouldn't think that he accepted from his Talmidim. And many Talmidim, but that was not Limud HaTorah by him was not something which he got any kind of compensation. Zok the Gemara. Let's see that Gemara. Min shis mile sor Rabbi Kiva. Six things his Rabbi Kiva became wealthy. In the Kabbalah of War, that was mentioned over here. Min Ela the Sfinta. This is the next thing from the Ela the Sfinta. And it was the whole Sfinta of Dinle Min Eina. They used to make the boats some kind of form. To me, it sounds like that either the word refers to a ram or a nayolo, which is a different animal, which is moves swiftly, right? Zimra Choda and Shiyua Kef Yama Osa Hahu Ashkeche. So it was something that was detached from the Sfina itself. Apparently, it was made out of gold, expensive thing, and it was lost, and he found it. That was the first thing. Min Gavzo. This Gavzo sounds like it's some kind of chest, and maybe a deposit box. The Zimna Chada Yav Arba Zuzil Sfunoi. He gave investment money. He gave to some sailors. They gave him some money. Abazuzi, and go. You know, you're traveling out there. See what you could buy something for me that I guess they were going to sell. Omar Luhu, I see li midam. Well, the Ashkol Gavza Kef Yamu. This is what they found. They found this Gavza, this box. Asuale Omru le Ovin Maron Ale. I think the Ran teaches of Moronale in maybe it was yeah, the Mefarish says, Yamtin Adeneinu Olov, Ad Shinovi Lucho Yeser. Wait, maybe we'll bring you more. Apparently, Akoponim, they gave him the box, and he saw that the box was full of dinrim. The Zimnu Chodot have a sfinto of Kule Iska have a Moches Bahu Gavza. What happened over here was there was a boat that sunk, and people had put their ASIC money into this chest over here, and that's how Rabbi Kiva got rich. Yeah. Right, that was the third way.
I mean, you understand this, that this was just an ace. They brought him this box. They didn't think any.
Yeah, I don't know what. They didn't realize that it was had some weight. You know, since it was full of dinner. Exactly. Right. So I don't know exactly why they didn't realize something was in there. But you want to know that regardless that they chanced upon a box. You know, and they apparently thought it was just a box,
mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, why didn't you know? Mm-hmm. How that happened? But you're probably right that you know these were all hashgacha pratis in order to facilitate Rabbi Kiva to help in the fundraising for the yeshiva, mm-hmm. that he shouldn't have to spend time on the road. raising funds. Mm-hmm.
I remember of Yehuda before, he lifted up a carpet and there was gold underneath?
So whatever it was, I mean, yeah, I mean, he had a way to produce wealth through Nisim. That was a Yehuda, right. Mm-hmm.
Was that... And why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda get that kind of an S? Or why couldn't Rabbi Akiva get the same kind of an S? Why do you have to go through these sailors and give them four zuzim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. These things, I don't know if we're expected to know the answer to that.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so let's see. How do they translate the next words over here? Vishtaka bahuzimno demin diskaruso.
Let's see, let me get that. from where?
You see the last on the last line on the daf over here.
Right. There it is. And the chest remained lost until it was found on the occasion by the sailors. Right?
Oh, okay. It was found at that time, the min sakrus, they translate as the sailors?
So that they have not emboldened on that occasion. That the min askaru, and then they have like in the non bold.
Yeah.
That it was by the sailors. But on that occasion, they're translating it.
Bahuzim is on that occasion.
On the
side, they attach it as they bring from the Oroch, maybe it refers to Yishma'elim. Right? Such a. Maybe that's who they were.
They have in the translation that the min. They have that in parentheses, I guess.
Whether that's
dalet
part
there.
Of the Girsa at all?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
See, there's a dalet here.
Mm-hmm.
My thing, what is that going to? Right, Ba'orach, Erech.
Right, that's what you quoted on the side, right? That in the Tagum Taishas Yishma'elim. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then he has the lobotomy. According to the Rush, Gabza is a large piece of wood, perhaps a hollowed out stump or the like, that may be surmised that the Arabian traders placed their profits in the stump because it was inconspicuous.
Okay.
That would make more sense, except it says that there was some kind of a... Maybe the boat sunk, and they got... Then they hid it on the shore in the stump of a tree? Because they were able to get it off the boat, maybe? And then they... But they didn't have a way to transport all of it, so they put it into a tree?
The Rosh they're quoting just says three words. It just translates to the word gavzo, chatiches eis godol. It's a piece of a large... the wood. Yeah. A large piece of wood.
And again, the way he has it, again, him explaining the Rush, is that when the ship sank, the stud of the stump washed the shore, mm-hmm. and no one paid much attention to it because it looked like a simple piece of wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so that maybe makes it a little bit easier over here for us that it was hollowed out. So maybe that's why it wasn't noticeable. Maybe the weight difference, right? Maybe we could answer that like that.
There was a cane like that. The guy with the cane.
Yeah, what? We had that in Gemara.
All right.
Right. Very good. Okay, let's just finish off over here. Something more like this. Umin Machanisa. That was the other one. Umin Ishishal Tanisrafis. Umin Ktir Bar Sholem. The Gemara just makes references to certain episodes. The Gemara doesn't tell us what it was. The Ran fills us in a little bit. Let's see the Ran over here quickly. Umin Machanisa. Pamachas. Machanisa would refer to a woman who was, a official, or she was married to an official. Pamachas hutzur l'bikiva tamid of mois. They needed money. Then they went to borrow money from this matronisa. Om reloy l'bikiva harin malva oischa. I'm going to lend you. V'siya ato loive. You are going to be the borrower. V'kodesh boch v'yam arev midovon. Right, so according to the way the Ran is saying that in the onset she already was relying that there will be special attention over here. So when the time came, Rabbi Kiva didn't show up. He later that he was sick at the time. Is Holchois Machanisa al Sfas HaYam? She went to the riverbanks Apparently she knew. He's not able to pay me. You, the Rebbeinu Shalom, you're the Orev, the co-signer. So please take care of the loan. Miyad, unbelievable story over here. Nishtatis Bitashul Kesar. So the daughter of the Kesar had a moment of insanity, right? Whether it lasted after that or not, not mefurish back upon him. But and because of that, she went into the shaita mode, not like as malei avonim tavis v'din reizol v'zorkul soich hayam. Hayam hevi yosei b'makom shahoisa ois machnisa yeshiva savasas hayam. Unbelievable story at a chest of avonim tavis, precious stones, was thrown into the yam and carry to her. So she took it and then, you know, as if like she was expecting it. Unbelievable, you know, emuna, right? And faith that she had that, you know, how Baruch Shalom takes care of Klal Yisrael, and she was sure that Baruch Shalom would recover for Rabbi Akiva.
And it seems like she needed the yam also. It seems like the yam, if Hashem had been the Arav and she had thrown it into the water, the yam would have had no achrayas to bring it to her.
Maybe
Hashem would have had to do it. I mean,
she mentioned that on the onset as if she had the whole plan.
Right.
The plan. The yam is going to produce. Yeah. Right.
It just sounds like there's a certain amount of Bechira to the yam.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. Okay. Maybe there's such a thing like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That's a good. That's a point. Basically, I have what to make out of it, but yeah. Okay. Liyomim nesaper b'kiva. So, you know, some time later, Kiva was healed. Bolo yetzel ha'himachinis moisav biyod lepiroin chayvei. Kiva came to pay her up. Amaloi chazarti yetzel ha'orish. She's told him, I made my collection from the Orev who poras kol kolachoyev. Veheiloch mashenosan liyoseh. And here is for you, this is what the additional money that was given to me that I got. That's the story of min matronism. Right, and so apparently, you see another piece in the Hashgacha. It wasn't merely just to pay off the chayiv, but it was to give him a future sustenance. Mar says Nacham Ma'isa min Ishlishol Tunus Rafus. The Ran also brings this. Sher Kiva Makapchay Bikroi. In the Mefarish gives us a little more background. If you look at the fire, just slide to the other side of the page. So it sounds like that he would instigate, right, this person, right? Rand doesn't tell us that side of things, right? So you know you question like, well, what was Rabbi Akiva doing this then? But the Mefarish tells us that he would instigate Rabbi Akiva with different explanations of Divrei Torah. And that's why Rabbi Akiva responded strongly. I'm back into Ran. Rabbi Akiva mekapchay bikroy bifnei keser umekanteray bidvorim. Right? See, he would answer him strongly. Pamachas bol beisay sarve. So if one time after such a exchange, he was upset. So this was her thought in order to calm down her husband. So she went to be mezana Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was not fazed. Rok Sochak ubocha. This was his response. Rok, right? He spitted. Sochak, he laughed and he cried. Omr loy, ma inon hanach klas milin. What is the explanation of these three responses? Like all different kind of responses. Omr loy, shnai mefarish nishlei afarish. Say, I'll tell you two of the three. Rokakti asher bas mitipas rucha. That was what the spitting was. And it would seem that he did in order to strengthen himself and to see the truth that he shouldn't be enticed by her, that he was able to see tipas rucha. That's what was standing in front of him. On the other hand, bachisi al hayshur for the bal biara, the bachia was that there was beauty there. However, Hai Shufra, the beauty, the Bali Ba'ara, which eventually will be, will rot away in the ground, which is the destiny of all people.
So the crying was from that the beauty would be taken away, that there was beauty that was going to be lost, that's what he was crying from?
So then maybe we need to explain that. The truth is that the Gemara says such a thing. We have, I think the one Brachas, right, says such a thing. On one of the Amiroim, also such a thing. Right? Al Hai Shufu de Boli Biafra. And he's also had a beautiful appearance. And, yeah, so you see, right, in his explanation, what was that? What was the true expression over there? There was something that was worthy of crying about. Why so? What is that? Yeah, you have an idea you want to share with us?
I mean, my original thought was that it was really just part of the same reason that he was rock, that he also pictured her as a decaying thing, and this was to take away his Yetzirah.
Mm-hmm. But what were the crying?
So why the crying? So I guess just to, I guess I would have thought it was almost crying from Simcha, that he, meaning, or crying that he should even be tempted by such a thing that he sees is going to go and become a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's along the lines that I was thinking.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it's right. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. He was like crying from tempted over a nothing.
Inherently, in this world, we appreciate fine things, right? That brings us, you know, joy and things that aren't, you know, good brings us, you know, sadness, and this is really part of our attaching to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is we see how beautiful the you know, the mechanics of the universe is a way where we become close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I guess we learn other things from when those take away, but the emotion of sadness comes where this you know, where a Kodesh Baruch Hu put something which could bring you closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, appreciating the universe, and now that tool was taken away from you. So maybe
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay, very nice idea.
And you're saying there's a value to the beauty that Hashem creates. He creates beauty for us to get a mile from.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is that. That is the brach that we make on the Ilonis, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that?
Or even on a beautiful person, the brach too.
Mm-hmm. Lihanis, right? Bias Tavis, right? Such a thing, Lihanis Biodom, and probably, like you're saying, the true purpose of that is to use that as a vehicle to realize the greatness of the Baruch Shleilim and the Chesed, the Tov of the Baruch Shleilim. Okay, so in that light, you know, the fact that will lose that opportunity eventually as a reason to cry. Okay, that could be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Right, so now the Gemara tells us, the Ran brings over here, that the same thing which she didn't tell her, according to the way the Ran says it over here, that's what he was sochak. That's what he was besimcha. V'loirotza lohidia. He didn't want to tell her. Amrloi klum yesh tshuva. Now something apparently at this point aroused her, right? Possibly when she saw the truth that Rabbi Kiva saw in his expressions, she was aroused to tshuva. Amrloi klum yesh tshuva. Amrloi hein. Holchon is gai v'nissus Rabbi Kiva. Now I think the other Rishonim maybe speak out a little bit. Maybe the they're right. The Mefarish tells us a little bit that it was after her husband died. That's when she married Rabbi Kiva. It was sometime in the future, not right away. Akoponim, but Holchon is gavnis Rabbi Kiva chisli moman harbe. In the context of the Gemara, that's where this Ashiris came from. That she had that money and she brought into the marriage. Paiskas Rabbi Kiva Taka saw in her a sincere on a high level, and Vinicius Loy. So that's the fifth source. And then the Gemara says, Min K'tiyah Bar Sholem. K'tiyah Bar Sholem, also the Gemara doesn't tell us what this is, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says over the story over there that this actually, he was a goy, expressed something in defense of the Yidden, which was contrary to maybe what the Melech had said, and because of that, he was decreed to be killed, and Hitaka was killed, and he gave over his wealth. Where it says to Rabbi Kiva v'chaverov. So that was other source of Rabbi Kiva's wealth. So on the one hand, we see that Dashkocho Protis, the Banish Leilam, someone that gives himself over to such an amazing Leilam, the Banish takes care. And, you know, the wealth, I think we could assume, like we were saying before, you know, what was used for Tereb Kiva was probably not a person, you know, that needed the wealth for his personal needs. This is all just lahakul toil adira, in order to enhance and to keep the yeshiva and the source of all of those talmid chachamim, all the talmidim. It's something that's important for us to take note over here. All the hashgoch rabbanim shleilim did. The man from Lahad Ultra Hadira, that we could and should be trust in the Rabbani Shalom, that our mesiris, our giving ourselves over to Limud HaTorah and service Hashem, is only a cause for the Rabbani Shalom to help us in our physical condition, then our materialistic world that we need in order to function, Baruch Hashem will provide for us, and, you know, even more, Baruch Hashem will help the cause that we stand for, and what we believe is the true purpose. Baruch Hashem will give us the means in order to further that cause, even past our personal needs. A good night.
I wonder if he ever bought her a Yerushalayim to the Haba.
It's not from Moran Shabbos. Maybe he did. No, right? Is that right from that Gemara? I think the Gemara just makes a reference to it. Gemara says that. Gemara says, you know, like Rabbi Kiva. I got the mashmois that eventually maybe he did. It wasn't just what he referred to that he would have liked to buy it. You see, I think the Ran is Mitzayin references the Gemara.
Inshallah, so.
I think so. That was the feeling that I had at the time. Right now, I don't remember so clearly anymore. That was the feeling that I had. Okay.